Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan, Scotty Mack in studio later in the hour. If the Cy Young was handed out tonight, how many top three votes would Marco Estrada receive? We'll discuss that. We'll get back into yesterday's news as well, that Aaron Sanchez will in fact be heading to the bullpen later in the year, and them already making the call that Drew Hutchison will step in when he does move to the bullpen. So Scotty Mack in studio in about a half an hour. Ray will join us here momentarily. We've got to get to your Florida story.
It will blow your mind why this bar fight happened.
All right, we should hit on the Fox News Dalai Lama interview, though.
Yeah, we got to get into that.
Because Ray is a massive Caddyshack fan. I think we all are, right? We can all agree. Like, we were talking earlier in the week about our favorite sports movies, and I said Major League would be my top one. But
me too.
Caddyshack would be real close, right?
Yeah.
Caddyshack's got to be in the top five.
Caddyshack is one of those movies that's always on, and you just end up watching it. You
Spalding,
say, yep.
Mm-hmm. It's time for the Billy Bagoo.
Rodney Dangerfield walking through that dining room is one of the all-time great comedy routines ever.
He is the most belligerent. Like, he is.
He's a mess.
He is brilliant on so many levels in, I don't know, all of his movies.
Yeah,
I think
so
he was great.
Great.
But, like, when he puts a clinic on, when he's walking through the dining, but even he's walking through, when he first gets onto the course, let's have some music, like, you know,
he looks like
away.
Just a party animal, too. He's
just
into the drinks. He's got the rum nose going.
I love that guy.
Cigars.
That is
nine.
A great movie.
So anyway, I guess the Dalai Lama, I'm not sure, but I believe he was in North America. And Fox News sent Brett Baier, who's one of their main anchors, to have a sit down with His Holiness, the Dalai Lama. So there's so many different things you could get into with such an exclusive interview.
Right.
Like, one of the most exclusive interviews in the world would be a sit-down with the Dalai Lama.
Right. So, that would be like us sending Duthie, right?
Yeah, exactly. Brett Baier is basically the Duthie of Fox News.
Yeah, so you're sending Duthie.
And he sits down, and he starts talking with the Dalai Lama. Mm-hmm. And he started referencing Caddyshack. Because, as we know, Bill Murray in Caddyshack has this whole spiel about caddying for the Dalai Lama. So let's play a short clip just to refresh your memories if you haven't seen Caddyshack recently. This is just a part of the whole Bill Murray Dalai Lama routine.
So I tell him I'm a pro, Jack. And who do you think they give me? The Dalai Lama himself. The 12th son of the Lama. The flowing robes, the grace, bald. Striking.
The 12th son of the Lama. That's a big part of the movie, right?
Yes.
It's a big part of the movie, but it's a fictional movie. No one actually believes Bill Murray caddied for the 12th son of the Lama. Anyway, Brett Baier in Fox News, towards the end of this interview with the Dalai Lama, the actual Dalai Lama, this is what went down.
Have you ever seen the movie Caddyshack?
What?
Caddyshack, the movie?
I don't know.
You don't know the movie?
I don't know.
The part about the Dalai Lama? Have you ever played golf?
No.
You're not a big hitter?
Then Batman.
But not golf?
No.
There's a classic movie called Caddyshack where they talk about the Dalai Lama.
I see.
I had to ask you about it.
I don't know.
So awkward, man.
That is so... He's digging
really
himself
awkward.
A bigger hole.
The biggest hole. And as someone who has interviewed a lot of people, now I've never interviewed esteemed members of society like the Dalai Lama. This is a dumb question I would probably come up with if we actually had an interview with the Dalai Lama. But I know what it feels like when you start going down a road and you think the person you're interviewing will interact and understand where you're going.
But he's trying to, like... He's hoping the Dalai Lama goes, oh, I remember that movie.
Very funny.
Yeah.
Like,
but instead,
he didn't get that.
He had never seen it.
But
and
no.
The Dalai Lama's got a lot going on. Like, why would he sit there and watch Caddyshack? Why would he be familiar with Bill Murray?
Yeah, I guess. But still, like.
I mean, A for effort, throwing the question out, I guess. But I don't know, man.
Do you think the producer or his superiors had a little conversation with him after? Like,
I don't know if he's
off the cuff.
I don't know.
So you think going into that interview, He goes, I got to throw the Caddyshack question.
I think so. I think, like, you prepare for an interview of that stature.
Yes.
For days on end. You go over it with every producer, every director. You may even send the notes to the Dalai Lama.
Right. You would send it to his handlers
this
going,
is
this
what
is
we're
what's
getting
gonna
into.
Be. So then he should know better.
I would think, but he didn't.
Or I think he went off the cuff and just thought he would be a funny guy and throw it in there.
It
and
popped
it backfired.
And it backfired big time. Let's bring in Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. Ray, if you had an exclusive interview with the Dalai Lama, would you ask him if he's ever seen the movie Caddyshack?
Probably not. I'd assume there'd be other things you could come up with, world peace, poverty. I don't know.
Yeah.
Would you not be a little more... I'd want to know, well, maybe this is just as bad a question. Hey, how do you get to be the Dalai Lama?
Yeah, I don't know.
See, that's a better question than the Caddyshack.
Can I ask all of you guys something? What is he? What is the Dalai Lama?
He's a spiritual leader.
Yeah, he's a religious leader.
Really?
Dude, we're going to get in trouble if we really start going down the Wikipedia page and trying to wing it here. Yeah, we're not going Brett Baier and winging it on the Dalai Lama's history.
Oh, dog, you ever seen Caddyshack?
That's all you need to know. Okay, Bill Murray can tell you what you need to know. Exactly. Yeah, you a heavy hitter? Yeah. No idea what you're talking about. That would be really awkward.
Yeah, no, I don't think I would go to that question. That would be low on the priority, I think.
I would think so. Anyway, we're starting to get going here with the NHL and
lots of transactions starting.
Yes, some transactions taking place.
Goligoski just got traded.
Goligoski going from Dallas to Arizona.
Yeah.
And there's also a couple of players who, depending on whether or not you believe their respective GMs, are off the market because Joe Sakic said today Tyson Berry's not going anywhere.
Right.
Kevin Cheveldayoff was speaking earlier in the week, and he said, I'm not trying to trade Jacob Trouba. But there feels like there is a difference between not going anywhere and no, I'm not trading. Isn't there a difference there, Ray?
I would say for sure. Start with Colorado. I never quite understood why they would even entertain trading Tyson Berry. Like, they have no defense. If you've got cap problems, figure them out somewhere else, other than on a position that you don't have anybody on. I think he's good. I like him. And I like the fact that they came out to say that whether it's preferably a longer-term deal or we've got to go to arbitration with them. The one thing that they open themselves up to, of course, if they don't get it done by July 1st, is the possibility of an offer sheet. And given the fact that there's no movement on the cap, maybe we will see a couple of offer sheets this year. As far as Cheveldayoff, I don't want to trade him. I'm sure he doesn't, but they've also got Byfuglien signed, forever. They've got Tyler Myers signed for a long time, too. They're both right-handed. Maybe Jacob Trouba you can do something to really improve your team with.
Ray,
and so that's why I would say he would be way more possible to me.
Ray, is there any team that you think maybe a Buffalo, like a team that can really make a leap and jump into the mix and be a serious competitor next year?
Well, I'm not sure. I don't know if I like Robin Lehner enough to say, they could make a leap with him in goal. I can't believe Montreal is going to be like they were this year. If Carey Price is available and healthy and normal, don't you think if they made an acquisition of a forward that could really score, that all of a sudden they might be a little bit of a team you look at in a different way?
Yeah,
they need a dominant number one centerman. It's very simple.
Or if they like Galchenyuk in the middle, which I think they've got to put the keys on that experiment away of left wing center. Go get a winger. Get somebody to score. I'm with you. It'd be great to get a center, but if they can't get one, just get another forward. No more Alex Semin. No more low cost. Maybe you get lucky with a reward. Go chase somebody that gives you production that you can almost lock onto. That I think would I think they have to go down there. No more of, you know, trying to just brush around the edges of the roster.
Yeah, I would agree with you, and I think that's certainly the mentality of Habs fans. Like Mark Bergevin, he was in the honeymoon phase for a while. He's not anymore.
Right.
There were a lot of people that wanted him out after last year's debacle, and he better start moving and shaking. He can't continue with the Simmons, like you said, the peripheral pieces, picking up Devontae Smith-Pelly in a trade. Those guys aren't going to really move you up the standings.
Right.
And the Habs, they need offense. They need to score. When you look at this team in this city, it's really all about defense and goaltending. Now, they didn't score a lot of goals last year, don't get me wrong, but with Matthews coming, Marner coming, you've got Nylander, JVR will be healthy. You know, we'll see what happens with other pieces. If Stamkos comes here, clearly that's 35, 40 goals right there. And they've got a lot of kids in the minors that project to be NHL players. You know, Hyman and Kapanen and others. They just simply don't have the depth on defense and in goal. And I wonder if it gets to a point where they decide they have to flip a prominent piece or two from up front to start filling out the rest of the roster.
I don't think it's a stretch to think at all that the movement on Toronto in the relative near term will be to identify which of those forwards that they want to lock onto and which can be moved. Like, you can't have a team filled, talented as they are, with Mitch Marner and Nylander and Connor Brown and Zach Hyman and Kasperi Kapanen. I mean, they're all the same size, and that just doesn't work.
No.
And so, yet, they're all really, you know, they all have attributes that would be interesting somewhere else, perhaps. And if one of those teams has a defenseman that you like in that younger age group, maybe you trade two of these forwards or one of these forwards and a higher pick. They've got a million picks to a team that's developing that might have an extra defenseman. Now, Winnipeg doesn't fit because they have a boatload of forwards that are just outside the NHL, and they're going to add. They signed Kyle Connor from the University of Michigan. He's going to turn pro. They're going to get Lyon-A as well. They're probably looking, if they're going to trade Trouba, for something more immediate than one of those young Toronto forwards would project to be.
Yeah, I wonder if you could get like a three-way trade going. I mean, now we're really spinning here, but I look at what the Leafs have. There are four assets for me that I would not trade unless they were factoring into blockbuster superstar deals that aren't realistic, that likely aren't going to happen. It's Matthews, assuming they're going to take him, Marner, Morgan Rielly, and their first-round pick next year. I could see them thinking Nylander is a guy that you don't want to move on from, but he's got a ton of value right now. And if you can get the equivalent on the back end, a 19, 20, 21-year-old defenseman, sometimes that's the price you have to pay. I could see JVR being a name that you hear a lot about over the next 2 or 3 weeks. He's got 2 years left at $4.25 million, 26, can score 30, 35 goals.
I think calling Anaheim.
I was just going to say Vatanen.
Exactly.
Right-handed shot defenseman that maybe, I don't know, Ray, maybe he's on the outside there just because of contractual issues, but...
Well, he would be the guy, or he would be in that group of guys. They've got three. Fowler's already signed. Hampus Lindholm and Vatanen are restricted free agents, and they've got about four guys sitting in the American League. That doesn't include Josh Manson, right. Dave's kid, who played this year. But Shea Theodore's about ready to go. They've got a pile of young defensemen, and that might be a place where they would, you know, they might be able to make some headway. Now, when we throw Anaheim, let's not forget the coach probably knows these guys pretty well. And yeah. Wouldn't that be something if JVR ended up out there?
It would be. And JVR would be a guy that would help them win right now.
For sure.
I would think they would be more interested in JVR than Nylander, you know, mm-hmm. in a hypothetical world if we're talking trade, because JVR can step right in, play maybe on the second line with Kessler, and all of a sudden you got Getzlaf, Perry, Kessler, JVR. You got a lot of firepower up front. But Again, these are things that I'm sure Leaf fans are thinking of. Some of them may not want to consider it. Again, Matthew's not going anywhere. Marner not going anywhere. But everyone else up front, I'd be willing to flip if I had to, if I felt the price was right and it was going to fulfill other needs. Because it's great. You got all these young kids up front that might be able to put up a ton of points. If you can't keep it out of your net, you're going to lose 7-6 every single night.
How about the thought of, so you're sitting in the GM's chair, you know what you would like to do, but everybody's trying to do something right now. And I really think this is probably as difficult a time to be a general manager as there ever has been, with the cap considerations, with the expansion draft just around the corner. You got to be careful that you don't expose yourself to losing someone that you have no depth to replace next summer. You're trying to improve your team. You know that you've got to have young players, so you can't trade away your draft picks like you could even just a few years ago. And if you're talking about teams that are looking to add a defenseman, well, there's about six of them that you would be able to identify right away that need defense. And so they're all honing in on the same four or five guys. And they're, you know, Carolina's got a whole pile of young defensemen. Anaheim's got some young guys. Maybe Truba's on the market. Maybe he's not. Could you get another defenseman out of Florida? So those general managers are sitting there. They're in the trading, they're in the receiving call line, and everybody else is trying to make calls and try and sign their free agents. You saw the Goligoski deal today. To me, that's a really good deal for Arizona, because I think they'll have a chance to get him signed. And Goligoski's a good player. I watched two of their young kids in Dallas play at the World Championships, Julius Honka, and who went one pick before Dylan Larkin in their draft year, and Essa Lindell, who's, I think, a third-round pick from a couple of years ago. He's really good. Like, Dallas has two really, really good young defensemen and four unrestricted free agent defensemen. So they're going to be a busy team, too. I think this is going to be really interesting the next couple weeks.
I'm with you on that. And then you look out in L.A. and they announced that Anze Kopitar is the new captain, and they said he's been groomed for this and he's been ready for it. And
what about the other guy going back into that locker room?
It's Dustin Brown. Well, and that's the thing that Lombardi.
I mean, his paycheck makes everything kind of fine, but that's weird, man.
It's really awkward. Well, and Lombardi came out and said he believes he's still in his prime and he's going to find his game. Well, if he's still in his prime and he's going to find his game, why are you stripping him of the captaincy?
Well, I mean,
how does that make any sense?
But take a look at we just dealt with it in the finals. Two guys, Marlowe and Thornton. Same situation.
But they never won two Stanley Cups.
You're right.
And Kopitar has been there the whole time, right there with Dustin Brown. They're about the same age.
Well, guys, we've been on teams, I'm sure, where somebody's the captain, and everybody knows it's someone else.
Yep.
And it's never spoken about, but you just kind of know. Given Brown's declining production, it would seem that, Kopitar has to be the leader there. And so, instead of having a charade about it, you just go ahead and make the move. Problem for Brown and the Kings is, what are you going to do with a $5.9 million cap hit? While Lombardi might say he expects him to find his game again, unless he gets much faster, I don't know how he's going to find his game.
Yeah,
I'm
and
with you.
Whatever age he is, I mean, he's not getting much faster.
No, he's 31, and he's had two, I guess now that's the average for him. I think he's just 33 points or 34 points. Like, he's been pushed down the lineup.
And he's a third-line winger that grinds it out.
And that's what's happened now is the price point isn't going to live up to what the player can give you. And that's the challenge on these long-term deals that have come back to bite general managers in the ass. And that's why, in the new CBA, Ray, I mean, they're going to protect the general managers from themselves and maximum five-year term.
Jamie, do you not think, and Ray, what are your thoughts? Do you think finally the GMs have finally smartened up where the ridiculous deals are going to stop? Obviously, there's going to be some where they can't control themselves, but, I mean, even look last year at Justin Williams. Everybody was thinking, someone's going to give him $6 million for 3 or 4 years. He signed for $3 million. It's like, are they finally starting to correct themselves?
I think with the older guys, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, like if you get a guy at unrestricted free agency at 27 or 8, I could still see somebody throwing a big boat at him.
Mm-hmm.
But remember last year, Matt Bolesky had an unreal year, and he seemed to be a guy for me that I thought, well, somebody's going to way overpay. And Boston went 4 years, $4 million.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? That's a pretty good deal for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was good for both sides because I think he's not going to hurt you production-wise.
Right, and if he slides down your lineup, you can still stomach that cap hit. But the deals like Brown signed, man, what's he got, 3 years left on that?
Oh, more than that.
It's more than that.
It's got like five or six.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, like you're not getting out from under that deal. Even if you trade him, you can only take back a certain amount of money, like, and it's not enough. Like that contract is going to be really difficult for LA to maneuver around.
Yeah, 5 years, Ray.
Left?
5 years left. The cap hit is 5.875.
Wow. Oh, I wanted to sign one of those deals.
We I know, me did. Too. And just
wouldn't it
shut
be great
it down.
To hear guys on the other team tell you how much you suck and you're way overpaid? That would have been awesome.
With two cup rings,
but
too.
You know what? What's amazing about that is O just said it. I'd love to sign a deal like that and shut it right down. And like,
just like, no commitment to the contract.
Like, just
dude,
shut
did you
it
see
right.
These guys these days? Like, I remember just dealing with the pressure of not performing. These guys can just disappear and they're never talked about. 30 points, nah, go get them next year. It's unbelievable.
Well, that's, I mean, maybe Dustin Brown's goes, I've got two cups, going to shut it down, put my 30 points in a year.
I'm not jealous of a lot of things, but if I had 5 years left at 5.85 to go out there and get 15 to 30 points, I would love my life.
Well, living in LA,
we could
too.
Get that done.
What?
Hey, like, we could do that.
We could figure it out.
I literally could do that.
I think I don't know what I could do anymore. I can't even walk up and down the steps without getting winded. I like to think, geez, I could bang five or six goals in, man.
You put me on all the 5-on-3s for the full amount of time, I'll get you 40 points in the NHL. I will not play 5-on-5.
I would be down sitting with the spare goalie in tennis shoes.
Yeah.
They'd get a power play, and then he'd put his skates on just in case it went to a 5-on-3.
With the Gretzky helmet.
Oh, you have to go with that.
I got one.
You'd have to.
Oh, yeah.
A beer league helmet.
Would you do any of the physical testings or waves?
I'd be Roger Dorning that.
Mm-hmm. Not in the contract. No. Sorry, Lou Brown.
Yeah. No.
Not going to work.
Could Roger Dorn, remember, he's like, I'm not diving after that. Get hurt.
Don't give me any of that Olay nonsense.
Well, listen, he's not going anywhere. He's going to be in L.A. until they buy him out and tell him, see you later. Well, so they got to deal with it. They got to hope he gets back into his prime.
You can't buy that contract out.
No,
right
it can't happen.
The owner would have a meltdown.
Yeah, not yet. I mean, you'd have to, man, it'd be 9 years or 8 years left on the buyout. Yeah.
If I'm running that team, I'm going to go back to one place, and I'm going to try one last time to make him an elite player. Like, he's going to get frontline minutes. It's not going to be King or Clifford or getting the nod over him. Yeah. He is going to get that opportunity one last time to see what he's got.
They may have internally decided, listen, we've got a kind of how what happened in Toronto a little bit, like, you know, prop him up, place him in situations to have success, and, you know, maybe a move. I doubt it, but maybe you move it on.
They're going into next year saying, we can win a Stanley Cup. This isn't, you know, it's not C-level beer league where everyone gets a shift.
I know, I mean, but we're acting like Dustin Brown can't get up and down the like he's
relatively speaking, he's close.
He's a very good player still.
He's not a very good player.
He
anymore.
Is. He's a good player.
Why are we talking buyout if he's a good player?
Well,
he's not a good player anymore. He was a very good player.
Well, yesterday you were talking about 31-year-old. Well, you know, Fleury's 31, still got a lot.
And Fleury does have a lot. It's apples and oranges. You can't compare Fleury to Dustin Brown.
All I'm saying is they're the same age. Exact same
so
age.
What? Mike Richards was the same age as...
You're right.
It doesn't matter. If you cash your chips in, they get cashed in.
I know, but my point being is, all I'm saying is Dustin Brown, we're acting like he's just this awful hockey player. He's not. He hasn't played well in the last couple of years because he's been pushed down the lineup because of what just O-Dog said. He's not a go-to guy anymore.
He's a hardworking guy who's grossly overpaid guy. Right now.
Yeah, right, because you know why he's a third guy? Not because it's selfish, because Toffoli blew by him, and Tanner Pearson blew by him. And guess what? They're still going to be in camp come September.
Dude, it's that cut happens. And dry. You either produce or you don't.
Exactly.
Right?
And that happens. You get pushed down because of other young guys coming in. That was my point.
Right, and
you can still place him in situations, have success. That's what O was saying.
Okay, well, we'll see where that experiment goes. And maybe I missed it, but did LeCavier officially retire, or was that still just kind of hanging out
there?
Yeah,
he did at the end of right after.
He said, I'm done and I'm gone, and I've
signed
the papers.
You were a little bit worried about that, weren't you?
I was worried that he'd say, I really like it out here, and I'm playing well.
He did play well, but I think...
He shut it down for sure?
He did say at the end of the season. Ray, I don't know if you heard any different.
Yeah, no, I think he's done.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he retired. He's off the books.
What are you doing over there, Ray?
Are
you doing dishes?
I'm texting the Edmonton radio, telling them I told them I was on the phone. I was on with you knuckleheads until 2:30.
So we're ruining another radio show right now?
Kind of, yeah.
All right. Let's see how long we can go.
Yeah, I'm going to try on that one. It's going to be a big one.
Yeah, you're really going to really bring the heat in Edmonton. Okay.
Oh, well, of course.
What do you think they're going to ask you? What will be? Do you think they'll play the Dalai Lama clip for you?
No, I think that would you trade Taylor Hall? Would you... How close are they to a Stanley Cup? Okay. You know, same, you know, the Oilers.
The same garbage we ask you, but just substitute the Leafs?
Exactly. I never thought of it like that.
Yeah.
It just dawned on me. I'm like, we're the losers. Would you trade Morgan Riley?
I would trade William Nylander.
Willie Nylander.
He's a movable piece.
Sammy Batman. Good, right? All right, buddy. Well, start scripting these things out, man. It'll make your life easier.
Well, they are scripted out. I don't know what, 2:30. It's not 2:30. It's 2:27.
Right.
That's clearly, right. I don't have extra time here. I'm a busy person.
Oh, my understanding is you're very busy.
Yeah,
very
and I'm busy. Going to the range as soon as I hang up with Edmonton.
All right, buddy. Well, long and straight, man.
No, see you, Grandpa.
Yeah.
Short and faded right.
Just spray it everywhere.
That's all I got.
All right, buddy.
Talk to you tomorrow. See you, boys.
There he is, Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, going on TSN 1260 in Edmonton in just a matter of moments.
Ray, now being a grandfather, has full right for the brown knee braces, like those elastic.
Yeah, but he had knee surgery. Is he allowed to wear the knee brace on the outside of the pants, over top of the pants?
I think so.
That is no.
That's a tough look.
You know the ones I'm talking about? They're just like the spandex, like kind of light beige.
And you get a sweat going and they change
color.
Color every hole. And it's a horrible look, but they don't care because they're driving the cart on the green and who's going to stop them.
But is it legal to wear the knee brace on top of the pants?
I wouldn't suggest it, but I guess you can do it. It happens. You see it on golf courses all the time.
I see it everywhere.
Yeah.
I saw it on a lady at the grocery store today. That's why I brought it up.
Full-out knee brace on top of the pant. I don't support it, but...
Well, I guess you got to get looser pants or wear a pair of sweatpants. But still, like it was a bit awkward for me.
Okay. Lululemon, that bad boy.
Yeah.
Go
you
Lulus.
Can wear anything on the outside of Lulus.
That's true.
Amen.
They're a great invention.
Dude.
Right up there with electricity. Man's greatest invention.
They're the greatest pants of all time.
Of all time.
Yeah.
Of all time.
There should be a man version of them, though, to make our stuff look tight.
You want?
You know who would own a pair if they did exist?
Scotty Mac.
Scotty Mac, and he's in studio next. All right, we have a problem here because... A couple of days ago, Jonas Siegel was sitting in your seat.
Yes.
And he announced to the world that he hates Vegas.
Yeah, which is...
It hates him, too.
What? Yeah. He said, I don't want anything to do with Vegas.
Yeah, let me preface this for Scotty Mac, because this is just... We're talking about expansion going to Vegas, and I'm talking about how I've been to Vegas about 100 times on all different levels, you know, in guys' trip, bachelor parties, you name it, couples, anything. He's like, yeah, I hate Vegas. I'm like, well, what do you mean? What do you hate about Vegas? Well, it's busy and they're handing flyers out. I'm like, you can go and just get gooned, or you can go and watch a show. You can do anything in Vegas. It's an amazing city. And he was so frustrated. Like, he was like, no, I hate it. Don't want to go back.
Really? Yeah.
Dude, he goes to trivia with Mark Masters when they travel. So
what the
figure
what,
it
they
out.
Go where?
They go out to trivia nights.
What do you mean trivia nights?
Like
Midtown
Manhattan.
That's their road game. That's the game they bring onto the road. They find trivia.
Like is poetry reading? Stuff like that?
No, what trivia. Trivia. Like actual
what
trivia.
What the hell are
like,
you talking
you
about?
You sit there, you have a cup of tea, and the guy's like... In 1814, who was the leader of...
Yeah, who is Louis
Riel? There's
Real.
A bar that has trivia?
General Custer? Yeah,
well,
whole nine.
That's what these cats do on the road.
I'm telling you,
if
man.
It's a bar that
it's
has
not a bar.
Trivia...
That's an oxymoron.
But from our last discussion, I'm thinking if us four were on the road, we might hit a Mandarin.
I've never been, though.
All right, so
if
this
you
is...
ever want to strap on a feed like you've never fed before...
That is more shocking than Jonas saying he hates Vegas. Noodles has never been
I
to the Mandarin
it, no,
before.
No, I don't know, even know how that came... Well, I know how it came up, but like the Mandarin...
We can't say how it came up.
No, but we're going to talk about...
We really can't
what
say
goes
how it
on.
Came up.
At the Mandarin.
Noodles, it's like $20 or $25 per person. And you might not get back to your table with your plate because you might just put your face right in one of the serving pans.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what. You know when you get like a six-beer growl on? I don't think there's any other place in the world you'd rather want to feed.
I love the Mandarin, and if I'm in the mood...
Dude, when I said the word Mandarin, your eyes lit up like dinner plates.
It's like just a drive-by shooting right through every buffet.
But you guys,
I'll take this, that, the other.
You guys have traveled in the U.S. enough to know, too, that the Mandarin has shaped America's vision of Asian culture.
Right. It's fusion now.
It's
I love
just,
that. It's
yeah.
fusion.
But is Mandarin fusion?
You were saying, like, you could get a piece of pizza there and fries.
Oh, dude,
and
that's my
fingers.
Routine. Lemon chicken and some fries. I love it.
The chicken balls, which have no chicken in them. It's just batter and the red goop, right? The red goop.
No one knows what it is.
There's no goop. Red goop anywhere on this planet but at the Mandarin
right.
or the Mandarin-style Chinese restaurants.
They know what to do, man. Yeah, I'm telling you, Noodles, I will personally take you to the Mandarin and... I'll pass out. You'll have to call the paramedics.
So people just go in there and glutton. Like, it's embarrassing.
Oh.
It's all you can eat.
Yeah, it's gluttony on display. Every table, there's a grinder or two that is just putting in work.
Did they ever shut the people down and go, like, listen, you've been here.
My friends have been told to go home.
Come on.
Yep.
From the Mandarin? Why? Because they were rowdy? They were boozing?
No. They're eating.
Come on.
Like shut down.
I think
like,
I know who it was. I think I know who it was. I could see that
you've
happening.
You've got a great grinder buddy that was shut down from the Mandarin.
They were cleaning out the buffet and they were told enough.
It's a workout. If you're not sweating at the end of dinner, you have not gotten your money's worth.
Wow.
It's heaven on earth. It's a great spot.
We should do a show from there one day and just feed the whole time. And lemon chicken and fries.
Our breathing patterns have changed over the course of 3 hours.
We'll be Lou Brown by the end of the show.
Who falls asleep first?
Oh, me for sure.
Yeah, the baby gorilla would shut
day,
it down.
Scotty.
Yeah, if he's on salads and veggies, he's barely getting through three hours.
There's a Mandarin pretty close to my house that I'm looking it up now.
Yeah, they're all over the place, but they don't. It's not like McDonald's or anything. Like, they don't advertise where they are. Like, you just kind of have to know it, and you show up, and you're like, hey, I'm in a chain.
Oh, yeah, there's one off the Gardner by Kipling.
Or Young and Eglinton, there's one.
Yeah. Dude, why are you a
one.
Mandarin
I'm like
spokesperson?
It's like Waze for me. I know all about it and everything you need
I'm
to know.
I'm looking at this debacle right now. I actually have a craving for the Mandarin.
But see, I'm calling you all out because I know I'm not going to be here to benefit from this. There is somebody with power at the Mandarin right now listening to this program, and they are going to send you in a Friday buffet tomorrow.
No way.
Thank you.
We're forever indebted.
No, we would never do that, Scotty. We would never be seeking out free handouts.
No.
That's not.
If you did, you'd be the first radio guy ever,
yeah,
Brian.
You haven't
first
seen radio our guy Source ever. Commercial. We yeah. actually started the show by reenacting our commercial.
Have you seen the Source commercial?
I love it.
You
I think it's fantastic.
Okay.
Oh, get this for Father's Day.
I love those Bose headphones. Marco Estrada. All right.
Mm-hmm.
If the Cy Young was awarded tonight, how many top three votes would he get?
Top three? He'd get a lot. I don't know if he'd win it just because I don't think he's celebrated and has the reputation of a guy like Chris Sale out there in Chicago. And I know the White Sox have fallen off the map. But this guy, I mean, he would tell you, Brian, that he's walking too many hitters, yet his whip, so his walks and hits per innings pitched, is less than one. He's allowing less than one base runner per inning. Elite relievers over the course of a season will have a sub-1 whip. Estrada's walking more hitters than he would like, but because he's only allowed 52 hits in 87 and a third innings, he's got a sub-1 whip. He has to be in consideration, and he's got to go to the All-Star game.
Oh, he has to. He has to represent the Blue Jays. And what he's done is he's made you completely forget about David Price. Like, Price has not had a great year in Boston at all. He's got an ERA over 4. But Estrada, and Happ for that matter, who's on the mound tonight, and he's had some hiccups recently, but for the most part he's been very consistent. Estrada and Happ at a combined $25 million, I believe.
Making less than Price.
Less than Price, and both of them have been much more impactful.
Yeah, in fact,
who saw that coming?
Happ is making, because it's 3-36, but it's 10-10-16. So it's 10 and something like 12 for Estrada. So yeah, it's like $22 million. And that's what average pitchers go for in this day and age, guys, is in that 10, 12, $13 million a year range. And they're not getting average production out of those two. They've gotten plus level production, and in Estrada's case, elite.
Right. No, his numbers
sure
have been
quieted down the old. Why didn't we make David Price an offer? It's a joke. We weren't in on that.
Oh, Noodles and O-Dog, a year ago, it was, why did we trade Adam Lind?
Exactly. Yeah.
Why did
we
trade Adam?
You seen him against
Adam
righties?
Yeah. Well, and
where is he? Like, is Adam Lind, what's he doing? He's got
lefties.
A back injury?
Adam Lind is in Seattle.
Yes.
Enjoying Washington State, no doubt.
I'm sure he would be. No, it's been an incredible acquisition by Anthopoulos. Didn't even start last year in the rotation. And when you look at when he stepped in, probably middle of May last year, all the way through middle of June, it's been an incredible 13 months for him. Roberto Osuna.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we haven't seen him. He hasn't really been needed. They're winning games without him. He's not on the DL. What are you hearing on him? What's the deal with Osuna?
Well, he'd thrown an inning in each of the first two games against Baltimore last Thursday and Friday. And on Saturday, so after the Friday game, he had appeared in 10 of the Jays' previous 17 games. And I think that he'd made it known to either John Gibbons or Dane Johnson, who was the acting pitching coach because Pete Walker was out of town dealing with a family thing over the weekend. I think he'd made it known that he had a bit of a biceps cramp or that he was starting to feel it. And 21 years old, 3 years removed from Tommy John elbow ligament replacement surgery. They decided, they knew they couldn't use him on the Saturday. They decided that he would also have Sunday off. And he was good to go on Sunday. I think he felt he could pitch if they needed him on Sunday. But they held him back. And then, as you said, in the games that have followed against the Phillies, they haven't needed him. Mm-hmm. So this is actually a pretty good thing, Brian. I mean, you don't like rust to build on a guy. 5 days of rest. But this is not a bad thing. They had to dial him back. They really did. And closers have to pitch tired sometimes. But these sorts of breaks don't hurt a guy over the course of a long season.
Scott MacArthur in studio. The big news yesterday, Aaron Sanchez, I guess it was always in the works, but it became definitive. He will at some point go back to the bullpen. And I think it's important to point out, they're not shutting him down. He will still be an impact player at the back end of the bullpen, but he's not going to be out there every fifth day doing what he's been doing all year.
I heard you talk about it yesterday, and I still find it fascinating how the player almost has no say in it. Like, he could be feeling 100%. Can't you get a gauge or do a test on his shoulder to see where it's at, what he's got left? I mean, to say it's happening automatically, Scotty, I still find that to be unbelievable.
Right, but here's the problem. And there is no defined number. What they're going to do is they're going to go off feel. So Pete Walker, John Gibbons, front office Atkins, and Shapiro will watch, and if they start to see signs of fatigue, that's when they'll make the switch. The thing is, and there's no hard and fast science behind it, but there's this theory that you don't want to increase a pitcher's innings amount year over year by any more than 30% or so. Sanchez effectively threw 100 innings last year if you combine regular season and playoffs. He's going to go over the 30% threshold for sure because he's already north of 80 innings and they're not going to halt him at 130, you wouldn't think. So I would think probably post-All-Star break around the trade deadline, that's when he's going to start to creep up there and they will stick him in the bullpen. The concern is that if you have a guy throw 100 innings 1 year, he's a young guy, he was babied probably a little too much over the course of his minor league career after they drafted him and signed him and developed him, If he throws 200 innings this year, O-Dog, and then he comes to camp next year and he's a little sore or he underperforms for the first 6-8 weeks of the season and there are some problems there, lingering soreness or fatigue, this team is going to get absolutely killed. Killed in the media, killed everywhere else. If people decide that the reason he's struggling or is tired is that he pitched too much the previous year. So they're taking care of an asset, a huge investment, and a guy who they believe can be the ace of their pitching staff for years to come by doing this ultimately whenever it is they do it.
I don't think he'll be too jacked up about it.
No, he won't.
I think he gets the sense like he loves the limelight. He loves being a starter and a stud up there.
Oh, yeah. Remember him in spring training where there were doubts he'd even make the rotation, and he said, I'm not thinking about anything other than being a member of the rotation. And his buddy, Marcus Stroman, is not on an innings limit, and I know he won't be happy about that. Can you stick around, Scotty? We got to hit a break here.
Yeah,
are you
absolutely.
Kicking around the building for a bit? Or?
Yeah, I got a thought that I want to pick up on this.
All right, so we'll continue with that. Scotty Mac, sticking around. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050. On Twitter, at HayesTSN, Psycho Duckling tweeting in, saying, my parents and I go to the Mandarin to, quote-unquote, get hurt.
Get hurt.
That's a great way
of phrasing
it.
Someone told me the one night you have to go to the Mandarin is crab night.
And I'm not a crab
the guy
eater.
Just said it's a show.
Like
people coming out of the woodwork.
Crab like cakes.
Crab legs. Yeah. Crab. I don't know what they do for
Bubba
crab.
The whole crab.
My favorite.
Shrimp in a tin.
My favorite
shrimp
is.
Shrimp Creole.
Somebody saying. Yeah,
popcorn shrimp.
Craving Chinese food. Let's go to the Mandarin. And then they come back with the pizza, the French fries, and the breaded chicken wings.
Mm-hmm. The best.
Pub fare at the Mandarin.
That's the
and
best.
You were craving Chinese food?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's just a warm-up.
They do an ice cream display like nobody's business.
Really?
Oh, their ice cream routine.
You know what? I Googled it while you guys were there.
Spectacular.
There is a Mandarin 3.3 kilometers from my house. I've never been there. 3.3 kilometers. It's a 5-minute drive.
Get a bottle of wine in you, and you'll walk there. You'll walk to the Mandarin.
Drink 6 beers, and you will sprint there.
Cereal hook you up if you get lost.
That's right. Scott, are you going to stick around for one more?
Yeah, let's do it.
We want to get back into Sanchez, Stroman. You had that thought. Remember that thought. And is LeBron a fraud? Like, did he actually watch The Godfather 6 times? Game 6 tonight, he couldn't give one of his favorite lines from the movie. We'll discuss that as well. Bobby Mack coming up as well. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050, and on the TSN Go app.